I really think it's like being an athlete. You know, you have to train and then you have to perform and you have to trust yourself.
I'm Lee Foster. You're listening to Action, the No Bullshit podcast dedicated to the pursuit of acting excellence. Enjoy this episode.
Before we started recording, you were just telling me that you just got back to LA, but are you from Vancouver?
That's right. Yeah, I'm from Vancouver, Canada.
And how long have you lived in LA for?
I guess you could say a little bit over a year, but I've been working down here since I had my visa granted. So that's been 2 years.
So Could you start by just explaining to my audience who you are and how you got into acting in the first place?
I'm Alicia. I am an actor, voice actor, producer, kind of master of Jack, I guess you could say. And then how I got into acting. So I guess I've always been acting because it's like performance has always been a part of my life since I was a kid. I mean, like I was a competitive pianist for years and then did theater in, you know, elementary, high school, and then majored in theater in university. And now I'm using my degree, which is amazing. I guess I professionally got into it at the beginning of my film career. I want to say about 11 years ago now. I think so. Yeah, I'm really bad with math in my brain. But I was working at a medical clinic. I just graduated university and pretty much that's how it all started. I met him and then he signed me. And then within a couple of weeks, I was testing for, remember the old 90210 that they redid?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I think that was my first LA test.
Did you book that?
No.
I
totally didn't book it. No, I kind of had a feeling like I don't know. I can't explain the feeling. It was more like I walked into the network and there were these two other girls there that did end up booking the show. Shanae Grimes and some other chick, Jessica. I can't remember the other girl's last name, but yeah, I don't know. I just walked in and I felt totally out of place. Like I felt like Xena Warrior Princess. Because I'm 5'9 and like bigger, and those two girls were super petite and like totally had that different vibe going on. You know what I mean? So I was like, I don't think I'm booking this, but I had a good time.
So what kind of training had you done for up until that point? I mean, besides you'd done training in high school and theater, had you trained for film much?
No, that was it too. I think it was like a mix of not being really ready for that opportunity. Like I wasn't really ready to receive such a grand role or a grand opportunity yet, because I physically and mentally and spiritually, I don't think I was ready for it. I literally just finished theater school at Simon Fraser University and then started taking acting classes with one of my coaches in Vancouver, Andrew McElroy, who was kind of the reason I was going to him was because he came from a theater background. And so he spoke my language of that world with the craft, but was able to help me translate into film. Yeah, I think I just took like classes in Vancouver here and there for like on camera acting with Andrew. I didn't really have like training of the on camera sense. It was just going to come, I think, from booking jobs, which is what happened, and just taking classes on the side with some of the amazing coaches that I had at my disposal in Vancouver.
Do you remember what your first TV or film role was?
Yeah, it was hilarious. I booked, I think it was on the show Psych. Mm-hmm. And I had no line. I think my character name on IMDb, I think it's called Lantern Lady. I literally was like a glorified extra. And I think after that, I booked like a guest star.
So we're talking like 10, 11 years ago?
I want to say 2008. Yeah, that's good math on that, right? Because it's 2019.
Yep.
2008.
All right, so between 2015 and 2016, you did 17 episodes on the CW show Arrow. As far as I know, it's a hugely popular show. So you did 17 episodes. So explain like where your career was when you booked that role and then how your career and life changed during the airing of those 17 episodes.
Like with the craft, you mean, and just like in general well-being?
I think I mean more like the craft.
Like
yes,
what my career was doing.
Yeah, more like where your career was before that.
I mean, it was on the up. I think I have and did have and still do like a pretty strong career in the sense that I'm always working. So I'm very grateful for that. But I was always, I think before Arrow happened, I had like a couple of recurrings under my belt. Like one was on a mini series, which did really well, a web series called Choose Your Victim. And then I also booked Hellcats too. So I was kind of like getting into the groove, I guess you could say maybe, and booking nice little guest stars here and there. So it was pretty fun. And then I think with Arrow, I mean, it was just another audition. You know what I mean? Like I was like, okay, great. Another job, another gig, another cool story to tell, another fun character. And I think all I really remember about the moment before that one was I had just kind of like was getting all these auditions that were very typecast in a box for me, which I didn't have a problem with, but it was getting a little bit like not exciting. You know what I mean? Like it wasn't turning me on as much. Like, okay, you're coming in for the like sexy kind of character chick. And I was like, okay, fine, no problem. Like I really love playing those roles too, like, but it wasn't challenging. And then I got this audition and I remember just reading it and was like, wow, this is actually pretty like heavy shit. Like this woman lost her kid. Cause I'm sure, as you know, with some of the CW stuff, they don't give you the exact script that they're going to film. They give you sometimes like dummy sides, you know, but they're coming from a sound place. And the sides that I had for this audition were actually more developed from like the Green Arrow comic, right? Where in the scene for my audition, if I can recall, I think I was like, you know, fighting for my child. I just kind of went to town and was like, okay, I'm just going to do everything, you know, take everything that I've been doing for the last few years in my work. And I have this fun opportunity now to just go like balls to the wall in a casting room that I knew was very supportive of me. And the same casting room actually that supported me for my test for 90210 when I first started. Yeah, it was kind of cool. It was kind of a nice thing to like have that office be the first place that really kind of gave me insight into the industry and then be the next big stepping stone to the industry within my own city and support me that way too. So I think my career was okay. You know, it was doing good. And then the show happened and it was just another thing that my team could add. It's like a nice little perk to a pitch. I wish I could speak more on that, but I'm not there in the room while they're doing that. But I guess it holds value for them to be able to say like, hey, she did a full season of Arrow kind of thing.
Did you feel like you got access to much bigger roles after you had that or during the airing of Arrow?
I want to say yes, but I don't really think it was. And I don't know, it's like, it's hard to speak to that because I was in Vancouver, you know what I mean? And I feel like maybe there's a little bit of a difference with that world of like the bigger role, the next bigger thing. Mm-hmm. I think my name had a little bit more resonance. I don't know if it really gave me access. Yeah. Did I audition after Arrow for like a bunch of cool stuff? For sure. Did it go anywhere? No. Cause you know, you're up against people from LA all the time. So it was still a little bit of that. I don't want to use the word fight, but I could really start to feel that energy. It was cool to be able to audition for stuff during pilot season and hear like, oh, you're up against this chick from LA who was on True Blood. And I was like, oh, cool. Like, that's kind of exciting. That's a cool pot to be in now. So in a way, I guess, yeah, it did kind of elevate what pool I was playing in.
So I want to talk about developments in your ability as an actor, in your craft, as much as I hate that word, skill. So can you tell me about any like milestones that happened along the way of the development of your skill in acting?
Man, a lot. I think my biggest wake-up call was coming out of theater school, I mentioned earlier, and then transcending into the medium of film. Film and TV, that was really interesting and quite challenging for a little bit because, you know, you're coming from the stage and you have all this stuff that you want to put out there from like your clowning class and like all this character work. And I think what I started to realize really quickly is that like I wasn't really classified as a character actor. So I got put in this box that I, you know, resonated with very easily or whatever. And you know, it helped me grow up the ladder with my work, but then a lot of my tools weren't being fully utilized. And it wasn't something I could really, fight against, if that makes sense too. Like, I couldn't really compete, I guess, with like a super comic character-y, interestingly looking woman. Like, aesthetically, that was a big thing that I started to realize about, like, the aesthetics of on camera, right? Which, you know, you'd think you'd clock into sooner because I used to model when I was younger, so I understand that idea. But I was like, oh no, fuck, I could play a funny ratchet chick, but it was kind of not really greenlit for me. So, and that's something I'm still kind of like wrapping my head around too. I'm like, okay, what's my character? Like, how could I be a character actor? But oh well. And then I guess something really magical happened where I got into voiceover. That avenue of the work really tapped into skill sets that I trained and had and didn't even know I had, I guess, and didn't know the realm of like how deep voiceover world is. That was really fucking cool because that was another play space that I could just use all those things that I studied in theater school and put to use on a mic, and didn't matter what I looked like. You know what I mean? It was about like, can you bring this character to life?
Right.
And then video game and mocap came into my world, and that kind of like titillated me even more because I got to really do theatrical work, you know, like in a play space that was just all play. Like, your whole body's being videoed, your face is being monitored, you know, every gesture, every expression you make is being downloaded and utilized for an end product. And that really turned me on a lot. We're kind of like, I guess my love, like I found like a new investment and a love for the work. And then using my body, I guess, on screen, right? Cause I started to realize that I really like doing physical roles. So I talked to my team about, you know, like, I kind of want to do more action stuff. And like, can I do my own stunts a little bit? And then that was the cool thing about Arrow is I really, the stunts department on that show was just formidable. And they let me go there. You know, the only things that I really didn't do for the most part were like crazy wires. I could have maybe gotten injured because I never really trained in that. But a lot of the other stuff I was allowed to do, like, you know, firearm handling and some stunts with like fighting and all that kind of stuff. So it was really rad. So that is something that just made my heart go boom, you know, like, I'm like, sweet, I can use my whole entity, you know, like my body is really being put to use.
Right.
And then I did a movie after Arrow where I was one of the leads, and there I was on a horse shooting a gun, fucking fighting another badass bitch. Like, so I started to really hone in on different skill sets right throughout the years. And I mean, it's still expanding. Like, I'm kind of at a loss for words because I'm like, oh shit, like there's probably so much more that I can't think of right now because I'm like, you know, not on set right now. I'm like sitting talking to you. It's like so much. Like,
well, let me talk to you about, you're always learning. Yeah. Let me talk to you about auditioning. First of all, how many auditions do you think you're getting like a week approximately?
I mean, they come in waves, that's for sure. And it also depends on the season with like networks and, you know, what's happening in that world, which I try to keep up with some intel with my agent. But I mean, like just this week, I think I had 4, which I think is pretty good. Sometimes I'll go with no auditions for like a few weeks, maybe like a month. I'm also kind of a weirdo because like I do really love auditions. So even if like they won't be able to get me an audition, I'll still kind of like, for lack of a better word, like demand or ask that I just get something that I can just put on tape, you know, just to keep sharp and train. Because I think that that's a really great way to, you know, if you can't be in a class, auditions keep you sharp. So I'd like to say that at least a healthy like 2 to 6, maybe 8 auditions a month. That's like really pushing it.
And when you're sending in tapes, are you taping those from your place or do you go to a place to have those taped?
Oh man, it really depends like where I am in the world. Like in Toronto, when I was there on Wednesday, I had 2 self-tapes and my husband and I ended up just going to a taping studio because, you know, there was no quiet time in our house, like my in-laws house. So, you know, we go to a studio. We usually just, if we can and we're together, or if I have a friend with me down here in LA, I'll tape it at my apartment. I have a pretty fun setup and, you know, I love helping my colleagues put their stuff together too. So it just really depends on timing. But I like, I don't know, I really do like to go in the room as much as I can too. You know what I mean? To get like bossed around in person or just to feel the vibe out. Because if it's, you know, if there's a director and producer in there, I think I do better in a room. I'm sure like most people do. But with tapes, it's, you still want to let yourself shine through on that as well, right? At the end of the day. So we tape where we can.
I wonder if most people prefer to go in to the room. I wonder if that's true. I don't know. I think a lot of people
don't know anymore.
Like self-taping because they can, especially if they have, like, they have more control. They can do 25 takes. They can get it exactly.
I hate that.
I do too. I totally do too. I want one take.
I'm like a two take wonder in a way where I'm like, okay, great. Two takes done. I'm just going to send them both to my team and they can pick. I mean, unless I totally fuck up on the way I'm pronouncing a word. Like I just, like this one audition I had on Wednesday, it was like all this like fantastical language. So I kept flubbing on a word that was quite important to the story. So of course I'm going to stop and reset. But yeah, no, I can't. Yeah. I can't do like the 25 takes unless it's like, unless I'm workshopping it. I mean, I've had those rare ones where I've gotten a tape that's due maybe like on the same day and it's almost like a cold read kind of moment. And I'm like, okay, hold on. Let me play with this for a minute while you watch and boss me around, like whoever my reader is, you know, and then that way we kind of like find some fun moments and find the levels in there.
Yeah, I also, when you go into the room, you get that really good, like post audition chill feeling. At least I get that, where like you build it up and you build it up and you build it up and you work and work and work. And then you go in and you like do it and then you leave and you're like super relaxed. Does that happen to you?
Yeah. Like, I think it's cause, I think Bryan Cranston said it really well. I can't quote him for his quote, but he talked about, you know, doing a performance and then that's it. You know what I mean? Like you have an audience there, you've come in and you've done your work on this piece and then you leave it there. You know, and it's not about working for their approval. It's more just like showing them what you created. And that's why I think I like going in the room, because it's also, I like to think that I'm a pretty collaborative person in the sense where I use the term loosely, you know, boss me around, but I actually really also do mean it. You know, tell me your idea. Tell me what you see that I don't see. Tell me if I'm missing the boat, you know, like if my interpretation of this character and story is totally gone, you know, off the rails, reel me in. Cause you know, everyone's imagination is different. And especially I'm sure you can relate on those projects that are like super new. There's no script that you can read. There's no, you know, IMDb you can create. There's no anything. So you just really have to use your creativity and follow your instincts on it. Right. But I don't know if I'm doing that on a tape, I'm just like, okay, I'm winging it. I hope you like it.
So when you go into the room and you say you like to get bossed around, how are you communicating that you want them to tell you those things?
Sometimes straight up. Yeah. Like I'll, you know, when you go into a room and they're like, do you have any questions?
Yeah.
Whatever happened to you when you go. Yeah,
for sure.
So I'm one of those people that like, unless I have a very poignant question that I haven't made a choice on myself, I usually say nothing and I just make a strong committed choice with the work I'm about to present them. And from there I can kind of gauge like if they're interested or not, or sometimes maybe it's happened to you as well. They're just like, okay, thanks. Bye. Mm-hmm. Like, and you've either pissed them off or you booked it or you don't fucking know, you know what I mean? Or you're just like, or you physically just don't aesthetically look the right part. And so for me, I think I'm a pretty good gauge of like being I'm a good room reader. Like I can walk into a room and like sense what's going on in there pretty quickly. And I make my energy known by that. You know what I mean? Like I keep myself very open to receiving whatever it is and I'll go off my gut. I mean, like if I did something and it's like, I can see it in their system that there's something there, I'll usually be like, I'll literally sometimes even say like, hey, do you want to boss me around on this? Like, do you have an idea? Can we play with it? Do you want me to play with it differently? And like, sometimes people take the offer and, you know, a director wants to engage or whatever, and it's cool. Or the casting director's like, yeah, try it again this way. And sometimes I don't have to ask. And like, you know, God bless the casting directors that are there and just want to have playtime with you. They're the ones that are like, okay, you've obviously done your work, so now let's play. Maybe they direct you totally the opposite way, the wrong way, who cares, but it's still fun, you know, and you're like, okay, cool.
Right. Do you hold your script in auditions?
Sometimes, yeah. I feel like I do a lot. I usually sometimes use it as a prop, like I'll endow my script as something, you know, like if I need to. And sometimes it depends on what I'm auditioning for. Like if it's like a physical scene and I just like really want to throw my whole body into it, you know, I'll keep it in the space with me on a chair or whatever, just so it's there. But I don't really use it as a sidekick, you know, to like pick up lines from unless those opportunities happen for some actors, you know, where they've like, hey, go out and read for this role actually. But yeah, I like to keep it there because I know I've had some experiences where, and you know, you learn the hard way. Like I've walked into a room and I didn't bring my script. I left it outside and I was totally off book and it was great. And the director's like, okay, we're actually cutting two paragraphs from this scene to make it shorter for the tape. And then we're adding this line. And I was like, oh, fuck. And like, I had to go back out, get my script, grab my pencil, make the note. That was a learning curve where I'm like, I'm just going to bring my pencil and my script in the room and always have it.
Yeah, I on the last podcast episode that I had, I was talking to a guy who was just adamant. Great guy, Jonathan Stanley. Awesome dude. And everybody's got different opinions. That's what's great about this podcast is I get to hear all different opinions and take what works and leave what doesn't and everything. But he was just adamant about not taking a script. That if like you're a professional, you do not take a script. I always hold my script. I hold my script because for a couple of reasons. Number one, I learned the hard way that I'm never as prepared as I think I am. I never have the words as well as I think I do. And I know that now, you know, like I can have them down and I just know that they're like, it's like 80% as much as I think. And the other thing is it just makes me feel better. It just makes me feel more comfortable. Jonathan Stanley has steam coming out of his ears right now.
Oh, sorry, John.
On that note, do you feel like you know when you're going to book a role? Like if you go into an audition or is it just like you have absolutely no idea?
No fucking clue. No. I mean, when I left that Arrow audition years ago, I literally was like, well, I probably fucked that one up. You know what I mean? Because I went like, I went in, I covered myself in dirt. I pulled my hair back. I didn't wear any fucking makeup. And it's CW, mind you. So like, you got to look good. But I went more like HBO Amazon vibes for that one. Like I literally put dirt on my face. I pulled my hair back into a bun and cried my fucking snotty face off in the room and then left and was straight up like, well, I don't think I booked that because, you know, it wasn't your standard CW kind of audition that I would usually kind of put out, but it was a totally different character. So I was like, whatever.
Did you have a callback for that?
Nope.
One audition?
Got that one tape. And I got a call, like, I want to say 2 weeks later that they booked me. And then a couple of days later, 2 days before going to set, I think it was, or 3 days, I got another audition from the agent at the time. And they were like, they want you to re-audition. And I was like, what? Sorry, what? I was just in the room with the casting director and he said, we got this. And they're like, yeah, they want to know if you can do a Russian accent and they want to see it. And I was like, of course I fucking can. But like, what the hell? So I was like almost a little bit like, okay, so do I not have this? Is this like a callback or is this like a re-audition? So what was nerve wracking to shit about that was A, I was like, yay, you know, we got it. And then B, it was like, you know, punch in the tit, go back and re-audition with an accent.
But it was at
home. Cause you know, it was like on a Friday night and this was a request from like upper echelons of whatever. So I put that down on tape, sent it off to my agent. So what, it's Friday night, this goes out. I'm supposed to be on set, let's say Monday or Tuesday. I get no fucking call back. I don't know what the hell is going on. I'm in my head thinking, oh, okay, I guess I don't have the part anymore because no one's called me for like approval. And then sure enough, the day before I go to set, the night before, the call time for tomorrow is blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
So I'm just like, okay, so I got it. I have it.
And so you went into filming with a Russian accent for 17 episodes.
Yeah.
So how many, that's crazy.
I know. The untold story. I don't think anyone's actually heard that story, but yeah.
Well, you heard it first here, folks. All right. I'm not going to keep you for much longer, but I do want to ask you like a couple more questions. And one of them is,
No worries.
So what is like your number one piece of advice for people who are listening, who it is their dream to be a successful working full-time actor?
I feel like that one piece of advice is going to be like a little epilogue to a novel, but, you can't quit. Like, you have to have perseverance and drive and patience and discipline. I really think it's like being an athlete. You know, you have to train and then you have to perform and you have to trust yourself and be able to take a hit, but also like hold true to your values, right? And your morals as to what you want your career to maybe look like. Because there's so much out there, you know, and don't stop. Like, if you do want to actually do this, know that it's like a very insecure, unstable, but rewarding and crazy, awesome job. But it's all up in the air, you know, and there's so much out of your control. So you just have to know that what you're doing, if you're doing the work, it will shine through.
So where can people find out more about you, follow you?
Pretty much if you just type in my name, Alicia Rotaru, that's my handle for everything. So you can find me there. You can create me on Instagram. I started a new little YouTube channel that's kind of fun. I just kind of wanted to do some little side videos of places I get to travel to for work. Shoot little field trips is what I call them.
So before I let you go, if you could go back and tell yourself one piece of advice from 10 or 11 years ago when you were first starting out in the film and television industry, what would that be?
I automatically just want to say be patient and grateful, but I feel like there's something else under there, probably aligning with the concept of knowing that when to say no. You know, passing on something could maybe be your strongest asset rather than trying to like appease everything or everyone or other people's visions. Maybe you can relate, like you'll get a project that you, not that you don't really align with, but you're just like, maybe it's not something I really want to do right now.
What would be the voice that you wish you would have listened to on those times where you wish you would have said no? What was the voice that was underneath?
It was about letting down everyone else, you know, because like you don't, you know, you get a job and you get an offer or you even get an audition. And for me, it was always, and it still is, I do have a battle with it, do not get me wrong, where, you know, I'm like, oh, fuck, I don't want to do this audition. You know, I end up calling my agent and my manager or whatever, my husband, my sister, my friends. I'm like, do you think I should do this? I think for a lot of artists out there that are starting off, like money is a great incentive to say yes. Like for me as well, it was also like, okay, money and a credit, build the resume. And then sometimes, you know, it's like, wait, what am I building the resume with? Quantity over quality, a paycheck? Because at the end of the day, it's an art form. I think that's something, you know, that has come into my system over the years for sure, where it's not about ego or this or that. It's more about like, wait, what kind of work do I want to be doing? What kind of stories do I want to be telling?
If you like this podcast, please go to your podcast app, scroll down, and give me a rating or a review. Thank you for listening.